What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Right now we bring in Chris Easterling from the Akron Beacon Journal. Does an outstanding job at a newspaper that I read every day. Hi, Chris. How are you?
How you doing, Chris?
Morning, boys. I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Good. I passed by you real quick at camp on Sunday, and I apologize. I didn't get a chance to stop and say hi. And I was like, I just missed Chris. And then I had to leave, and I was like, I should have said hi to Chris. So I'm saying hi to you now, my friend. How are you?
Well, hi, Andy.
Always a pleasure. Okay, so it's been a crazy week in Berea for a team, you know, there weren't a lot of battles for positions, but there are a lot of things that are kind of percolating. Just give me your biggest storylines. Give me two going into this week against Minnesota.
Well, I think the first one was something that sort of kind of emerged, Tuesday morning was the Mike Hall thing. I mean, because this was going to be a big week for Mike Hall Jr. on the field, because it was an opportunity. He was going to get a lot of reps, especially tomorrow in the preseason game, and you wake up Tuesday morning to find out about the domestic violence charges and the arrest and all of that. And then, the Browns put him on the practice field Wednesday, which, reasonable people, I guess, can differ on that decision. But he was on the practice field, got hurt. Now, he's out, Kevin Stefanski says a little bit. Chance he could be out for a while. So, I guess I don't even want to sum up, try to sum up his week in one or two, kind of flippant words. But it has not been a good week for Mike Hall. And that was a guy who this week before the off-the-field stuff was potentially, but it overtook the week. And then the other thing was Deshaun. I think we wanted to see Deshaun against another team. We haven't seen that since he played Baltimore in the game that he was outstanding the second half, and then find out he has the broken shoulder. The big thing is I come away from, 2 days, one day where I really watched him closely, and then another day where I tried to focus on the defense. And I think I'm right where I've always been with him is I just have to see it in games. At this point, it's just talk. It's just we can argue over each other what's progress, what's not. Progress is him playing in football games, playing consistently in football games, and making it through an entire season, something he hasn't done since 2020. So I guess that's where I'm at.
All right, Chris, there's a lot of rumbling going on coming out of camp involving offensive line play and how it looked a little on the shakier end. Do you agree with that sentiment? Is that what you have seen?
I think part of the problem with getting a fair assessment of Deshaun Watson, not just in against the Vikings, but when they're playing against their own defense, is the protection has not been good, specifically at left tackle. I think we can talk about Callahan, we can talk about Dickerson, we can talk about they need Jed Wills Jr. back on the field so we can at least see if maybe that solves some of the problem. Because look, we know what Joe Bitonio, Ethan Postich, and Wyatt Teller are. And we think we know what DeJuan Jones is. And it hasn't really been an issue on the right side. But it absolutely has been a problem on the left side. And it's something that they're going to have to figure out, because, my God, you look at the first four games and Micah Parsons, Josh Allen, and Max Crosby in three of those games, and Dexter Lawrence in the fourth. You're going to get your quarterback killed.
Not a lot of fun. It is that one spot that, you know, we kind of talked about going into this, but hopefully they're healthy when they hit the regular season. What kind of expectations do you have for tomorrow night? Because we were sitting here talking about this. Fans got to pay full price to go, and you already know on Thursday that the starters aren't going to be playing. And, you know, as a true fan, you're probably like, well, I'm okay that they're not playing, but I still got to pay for this ticket.
I think the thing you look at is the two quarterbacks. I think this is a showcase both for DTR and Tyler Huntley, because one of them is obviously auditioning to be number three on this team. But I think the other one, and my guess is probably Tyler, because they drafted DTR, but it's an opportunity to showcase yourself to other teams who may be looking around, you know, because this was the time last year where, you know, they flipped Josh Dobbs to Arizona. So, you know, maybe, you know, you showcase yourself, you know, to other teams. So I think that's one thing to watch. And there's some young kids on this team, young players on this team, kids. I mean, they're not kids. They're 20s. But, you know, on offense, Jamari Thrash. I'm fascinated. But Zach Zinter.
Yes.
I thought played a really good first preseason game for them at guard. And to be honest, I didn't think Javion Cohen was terrible either at the other guard spot, filling in for Bitonio. So, you know, those are two guys I'm looking for. You know, Miles Harden, the cornerback, seventh round pick out of South Dakota, has been a camp sensation. So there's a guy that there's going to be a lot of reps for him and a lot of opportunities, because he's going to make it difficult for them to make a decision on keeping him on the roster or him, you know, having to cut him. And the way he's played, and he's gotten a lot of meaningful stats with Greg being out, with Denzel being out at times, just the Cam Mitchell being out for a while. I mean, it's given this kid an opportunity to really show himself, and he's shown that, hey, just because he played at FCS school, he's a pretty good player. So he's a guy, definitely, I would say, the fans, if you're looking for somebody to watch, number 26 on defense is the guy to watch.
Chris Easterling, Akrabeka Journal, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So, Chris, David Njoku, Amari Cooper, left joint practices yesterday with injuries.
Sure.
Is this super mega caution when it's leaving with injuries, or is this something that we should keep an eye on?
I think sore. I'll answer Kevin Stefanski like.
Oh, no, Chris, you can't go Stefanski on me.
Wait, you have to say on the grass somewhere near.
Yeah, somewhere, yeah. And in the room.
In the room, yeah.
We know where they're at, and yeah, we like that they're progressing, everybody recovers at their own pace. I don't think
that's well done.
I don't think this is too serious. I mean, Kevin didn't sound too serious, too concerned, I guess. As I was walking to hear some of the Vikings talk, I heard a couple people talking within the organization, and they didn't sound too concerned either. I think they're at the point in camp where they're just going to be extra cautious with anyone who has a chance to be a significant contributor to this football team. And, you know, they can see the finish line, which is really the starting line, it's coming up, and they just – I think they just – I don't think we see Amari Cooper the rest of camp or the preseason, because you know what Amari can do. You know, I'll be curious what they do with David Njoku, because, you know, the last preseason game is a game that Kevin traditionally likes to play as starters, at least for a little bit, especially as quarterback. So we'll see. But I don't think it's a long-term concern right now. Talk to me in 2 weeks when we still haven't seen, you know, Amari Cooper or David. We saw David Njoku. He was jogging around and, you know, he was goofing around with a couple of the teammates' kids after practice yesterday. So I really do think the David Njoku thing is just soreness. The Amari's a little more. The one that's actually more concerning is maybe Mo Hurst, because he looked legitimately upset when he was on the ground after suffering the injury. So that's the one I would keep. If I had to keep an eye on something, that's the one I'd keep an eye on, not just because of his initial reaction, but, again, it's a position where they're just so beat up.
Yeah.
And it's such an important position in Jim Schwartz's defense.
And then Mike Hall didn't help anyone. If you're just looking at the interior, not right or left, doesn't help anything.
We saw Dalvin Thomas and he looked good. He was smiling and everything. You know, and I think he'll be ready to go for Dallas, but he's still going to have to get back into, get back into, you know, playing shape and everything. I'm sure he's doing what he can in his rehab, but so, I mean, it's going to be interesting in that position spot.
Chris, is there a guy that kind of jumps out to you, a newbie, that no one really knows about? Like, to me, when I was at camp, I was watching Jamari Thrash, and he was returning kicks, and then to watch him come up with a nice play last week, like, I know he's, you know, he's a draft pick, he's a fifth-round pick, and, you know, you should have some kind of expectation for him, but he kind of seems to be that newbie that jumped off the page for me. How about you?
I was intrigued by him through the first part of camp, and then I watched the, you know, the preseason game with the Packers, and he had that one drive where he had three big catches, you know, moved the sticks, helped him move down the field, and it's like, oh, so that's what he can potentially do. You saw him kind of put, you know, proof of concept, so to speak.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's the guy, again, you know, I mentioned Miles Harden, previous answer. Jamari Thrash on the offensive side is definitely a guy that can he build on this? I'm intrigued. I'm certainly intrigued, and considering the injuries they've had at that position, wide receiver, I think there's an opportunity for him to slip in, return, you know, again, as you said, returning kicks and everything to slip in and grab a spot on this roster. So I think that's something he's definitely he'd be there. Another guy, and we haven't seen him, he's been out, you know, injured because he got hurt in the Packers game, was Nathaniel Watson. I really like that kid coming out of Mississippi State. I mean, he was your prototypical Mississippi State linebacker. Just see ball, get ball on the ground. I mean, ball carrier on the ground. I mean, he was that kind of player. And you know, I hope this injury and being out missing, like, these joint practices, I hope it doesn't significantly hurt his chances to make this roster, because I really like that kid and really think he can be a football player. I really think he can be an NFL football player.
All right, Chris, what has been the biggest difference in training camp with the new offensive staff compared to what you have seen last year to this year?
There's a lot more motion. There is a lot more to the motion and eye candy stuff. There are more RPOs. I don't think that's talking out of school. It's at times in a very collegey offense. That's even a word. There's just some things you see that, you know, you see on Saturdays a lot. You know, and I don't know if, you know, that's playing to Deshaun's strengths, you know, pulling from stuff that worked for him at Clemson, if that's Tommy Rees, you know, coming on board, because, you know, they've said it's a collaborative effort, and Tommy obviously has been an offensive coordinator the last few years at Alabama and Notre Dame. So, you know, I the receivers, I think, is, you know, there are more 3-4 wide receiver sets than more the double tight ends or triple tight ends, you know, 12 or 13 personnel. So, if I had to use the word, just more college, it just seems like, and that's not a good or bad thing. That's not a value judgment. It's just how I would describe some of the plays I've seen. But I'm going to be fascinated to see what it looks like when they, you know, take the training, you know, when the stuff they've got hidden behind the curtain, they actually showed for everybody to see in this offense.
All right, Chris, two more preseason games to go. That's it. That's all you got to worry about. Could you fit? Is there a way to fix these games?
Unfortunately, won't be at tomorrow's. My daughter is a freshman at OU, and
move-in day.
We're moving her in tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations, man! That's outstanding. Good for her. So good for you.
Just perfect timing. She's getting in a program that's it's an early role for like STEM and everything. And I've never been happier to have a math and science student in my life, because if there's a preseason game to miss, it might be this one. But at the same time, I mean, it'll be valuable rest for those youngsters trying to make the team.
All right, just keep her away from that media school. You'll be fine. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
She sees what her dad goes through.
Good for her. She's learned something. Thank you. Chris, have a great weekend then.
Take care, man.
Hey, you guys too.
Thank you. Always appreciate it. A great read, too. All the time, make sure you read him in the Beacon Journal.
He does a great job for the Journal. Yeah. It's a great read.
And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris Easterling, Akron Beacon Journal, just joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and brought up the notion of shutting down Amari Cooper for the rest of the preseason. What say you? 216-474-0092. Brian Anderson joins us at noon. We'll talk baseball with him. Tim May at 1 o'clock. Letterman Row. He said that, and I'm like, okay, I'm good with it. I don't need to see Amari Cooper again. I don't need to see him again during the preseason. I don't have any problem with that. Your thoughts?
I'd like to see him play in that third preseason game, just because different system, different ideas, all of that kind of stuff. I don't know if the terminology has changed at all, but at least it gives them a little bit of repetition on the field in an in-game situation with helmets on and crowds going nuts. That would be my only thing with it. I know it's, I mean, it's wide receivers and there's only 8 different routes anyway. So I get that, or I should say 9 different routes, but I understand that, but it still would be nice to see him out there in a new system with new ideas and all of that to understand. That would be my only part with it. But if they shut him down, I'm not going to sit here banging the table going, Kevin Stefanski is an absolute abomination to coach. I'm not going to do any of that nonsense. Like, it's going to be like, okay, fine. I prefer him out there, but fine.
I don't know if it was Jeff or Daryl that said it earlier this week. I think it was Daryl. And they were just talking about Amari Cooper and the success that he had last year, and that there were undertones at the end of the year about Amari and his ability to play really, really well with Joe Flacco. And that part of his success had to do with Joe Flacco. And maybe he enjoyed that and felt like he was at this, you know, apex of his career where he was just like, this is awesome. And this is like, I've got this quarterback who can get me the ball in the places that I need it, and I can make big plays on this, and I, you know, like the biggest game ever, and you know, all of those things. I hope Deshaun is there. I'm starting to have a little bit of concern about Deshaun walking into the season. I don't know why I care, but the fact that Daryl says that he knew what he was talking about, so don't worry about it because we weren't there. And there is a difference when you're standing there or not. But I don't know if he was just trying to protect coach or just not say what he was supposed to. But when he said it was the first he had heard of him playing in Seattle after the coach had already told the media that he was going to play in Seattle. I don't know if it was a game or not. Even if it was a joke, okay, that's kind of funny. But it just brings a little uncertainty to, you know, a guy that just hasn't put in a full season since he's been here. And we need to see it, man. We need to see it out on the field.
Yeah. All right, so to break what you said in half there, the Amari Cooper part with Joe Flacco and all that stuff, look, it's I know exactly what they did. They basically sat Joe Flacco down, and we even drew this up last year, and they went back into the old days of football and grabbed Gary Kubiak's playbook from the Houston Texans that Joe Flacco knew because he played in that system when he was in Baltimore, where Andre Johnson was running all of these routes, and you had Owen Daniels up the middle with Matt Schaub, and he would just do these giant bootlegs to Arian Foster and would just fling it down the field to Andre Johnson. And basically Kevin Stefanski saw that and went, we're running this. We're going to run a system where one wide receiver is going to be awesome. And everybody else is going to be supplemental to that, and we're going to run it through him, and we're going to run it through the tight end. And we're going to do it this way because the quarterback already knows this offense, and we don't exactly have time to get him up to speed, so we're going to adapt to him. We laid that out at the time when we saw Joe Flacco, that was exactly what they did. And you could go back, and if you want, you know, go into your attic, grab your box with your Nintendo 64 in it, pull out Madden 2005, plug that in, and go have fun with that offense. That's what Joe Flacco did, all right? So all of that goes out the window. And if I'm Amari Cooper, I probably am realizing that what I'm running right now is not a substantial offense in the modern NFL. You can't succeed running something that was at its heyday in 2005. So you're going to have to adapt. And you want more wide receivers involved than just heavy bootleg Joe Flacco. All right, Amari, no, you go a little further. The red car to the red car. Okay, here we go. You know, like you can't run an entire offense through that. So I hope Amari Cooper realizes that. I think the cryptic tweet that Amari Cooper sent out, if you want to call it cryptic, was not a, you know, where they were going to send him, and he saw the rumor for the 49ers that he sent out, you know, I wouldn't be against that. Well, no kidding. I don't think that's a slam to the Browns. I don't think that's a slam to Amari Cooper. I think that's a guy who understands he is an independent contractor, and nobody understands that better than Amari Cooper. He got traded from the Oakland Raiders for doing nothing wrong to the Cowboys, and then the Cowboys traded him to the Browns after they paid him because they didn't want to pay him again, and for stuff that you can go look up on the internet. Nothing bad, just don't want to go down that wormhole right now. So, like, if anybody understands he's an independent contractor, it's Amari Cooper. So, I think, yeah, he enjoyed being 1-1 and the only option that was doing all that stuff. But you're not going to go anywhere in the NFL and have that same opportunity ever again. So, take a deep breath, realize you're going to be in a spread offense type of system, and figure out where you work in best. And that's the other reason I want Amari Cooper out there, is because you're working in option routes and choice routes and all that stuff. This is a new thing with Deshaun Watson in there. Amari Cooper hasn't run a whole bunch of option routes and choice routes in a Cleveland Browns uniform with Deshaun Watson, a quarterback. That takes chemistry. That takes time. So I'd love to see it with somebody wearing a different uniform, not knowing what's coming next.
All right, you have a lot of emotion, a lot of passion on this. I can feel this. I can tell you that I'm not going to break this down any simpler than this. I don't want him to get hurt.
No boo-boo.
I don't need it. No, I don't need him to play. I just, you want to build chemistry? Okay, stay after practice and throw some extra passes. I'm serious. Make sure that you use your time in practice and make sure you use it really well. Make sure you're on the jugs machine, making sure you're catching every pass you possibly can. Get with Deshaun every day for an extra 20, 25 minutes and throw.
But the thing is especially with your quarterback and your number one wide receiver.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff's not here. We can say these kind of things. You want that Vulcan mind melt. You want those two.
Wait, this has nothing to do with statistics and analytics too, because Jeff will give you the wall. I can see this, and he'll crush you with a stat.
Oh, hell no. We're in Star Trek mode here. We want that Vulcan mind meld between your quarterback and your wide receiver.
I want that too.
You want those two working off of that same brain.
I think those things are real.
Yes.
I think chemistry is real. I think, you know, having your teammates back is a very real thing. Jeff looks at me sometimes like I have five eyes sticking out of my forehead.
Especially when it comes to quarterback and wide receiver, you need that Vulcan mind meld.
The second sense.
Where the two of them understand each other with a look. and can understand each other and know exactly what the next move is going to be. That's the best combination. That's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. You read everything out of Kansas City, they'll tell you Travis Kelce doesn't have a whole heck of a lot in a playbook. The two of them kind of look at each other and they share that Vulcan mind meld, and the two of them look at each other and go, yeah, I'm going to end up over here. And it's great. I'll get you on time and on target. Let's go. You know, it. Rodgers and Devontae Adams. You see it all over the league with all sorts of different guys.
But it's not only football, it's basketball too. And I think when I was watching the Olympics, I was watching LeBron, you know, behind the back, passes to the back door to be able to find another great player who is wide open on a, you know, think about it. These guys don't play that often together.
Oh, gosh, no.
But yet they're able to do that because they're the best in the game.
Right.
And I was watching LeBron's passing ability during the Olympics, and I was just like, wow, I wonder. You look at all the nights where he's got, you know, double digit assists, and you're like, I wish he passed the ball more. And then you're like, well, wait a second, compared to everybody else, he does, if not more. And you kind of look and you're like, it just showed me that part of his game, I think, is sometimes underlooked and underrated. His ability to find guys on the floor when you have no idea that they're going to be open. And so, but that's that same thing. It's that Vulcan mind meld. It's the being able to have the intuition to know where your player's going to be because you do that in practice every day.
Exactly. And yeah. You get that, and you have that understanding. And that's why I'd like Amari Cooper to be out there. And if he's not, I'm not going to sit there and go, this is an abomination. They should be ashamed. I'm not going to do any of that stuff. It's just going to be one of those like, okay, missed opportunity. Let's go to week one.
All right, fair enough. All right, we're going to play a game when we come back. And this is a game that it is 100% the topic itself on the surface. You're like, oh, total sports talk radio topic. It's the hook. It's the hook that I haven't heard before, and we're going to give it to you when we come back. You are going to want to play along. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan. All right, are you ready to play a little hack radio here? You in?
Oh, I've been a hack for a long period of time. I may as well just lean into it.
Yeah, Jake, you're in on this too. Did we fill you in on what we're doing? If we didn't, it's even better.
You did not know.
Okay, so here's the deal. So we're on the conference call this morning, and I was like, you know, I saw something online. I'm from Cleveland had this, by the way. I follow them. They've like the best Cleveland headlines. They've like the best Cleveland stuff that's going on all the time. There was a picture that had four corners on it, and it was like, okay, so here's the hack part of it, right? It was like, who's on the Mount Rushmore of Cleveland sports? And so I'm looking at it, and even Poobah was like, yeah, that's like, you can't do that topic. And I'm like, I know, I don't ever really want to do that topic. But what I thought was interesting was when I looked at the picture, I'm like, LeBron, slam dunk, man, right? Slam dunk. Bob Feller, slam dunk. Like, no question about
right,
it.
Right, no one's going to fight
Jim Brown,
yep.
Slam dunk.
That's
all three of those. Here's the hook. Who's the fourth? Because they had the fourth on there, and I thought they got the fourth 100% correct. But I think the fourth is debatable. And so that's the question. So here's the question I have for you. You can look at that Mount Rushmore and you go, okay, I get it. But if I tell you that you can't change Feller, James, LeBron James, and Jim Brown, you can only have one spot. Who gets the one spot? Who is the one spot? Dan.
Whew. All right, so this is one of those where your age is going to show. Because you're going to do the best.
100%.
You're going to do the best you can to take history into perspective, but the people who lived history know history better than you reading about it in a book. So, my age is going to show. I'm 36 years old. Let's keep that in the back of our heads as I say this.
Mm-hmm.
The name that popped into my head was Jim Thome. And I know that there is a lot of scar tissue that comes with Jim Thome. I know there are a lot of people who don't like Jim Thome for a lot of different reasons. That's the name that popped into my head. The second one that popped into my head, am I allowed two or just one? Number two.
Hold on to it for a second.
Okay, I'll hold suggestion two.
Okay. Jake, who's your one?
I'm kind of going to go with what Dan said. Like, the first name that came to my head in this discussion is Joe Thomas. I feel like that's a pretty safe answer. Obviously, Cleveland Browns legend for that four spot. I do have like another option, but I'll save it for later.
Hold on. I'll give you my one. And I thought they got it right. It's Jesse Owens. Okay, and I know, you know, was born in Alabama, but, you know, lived most of his life here in Cleveland, right? And went to Ohio State. And I don't know if you've seen the movie Race. Like, there were things in Race I didn't know, and I hope that they weren't made for Hollywood. But when I got to when I watched that movie, I don't know, I watched it a couple weeks ago, and I just was like, wow. And then, you know, he's got a statue here too, and the things that like it when you look at what these guys did and how they stood out and what they did to stand out beyond sports. I think that's why when I was looking at it and I saw Jesse there, I was like, slam dunk, man.
Yeah, when you say that out loud. But the only thing with Jesse Owens, the only pushback I would have with Jesse Owens is just the fact that in my head, he's Columbus.
Yeah, I don't see. It's funny.
Like that's the I just
I can
see
tell
Columbus.
You why you think that though. Yeah. There's only one reason why you think it. Well, two. One, he made his mark at Ohio State, right? And two, if you have anything to do with track in the state right now, you're like you want to get to Jesse Owens at the end of the year.
State championship track champion. Yeah, and Jesse Owens. Yeah.
I mean, now last year they were at Dayton for 1 year just because they were doing renovations, but you know, that's why you think that. That's why you think that, and. I don't know. I mean, if you want to have pride for our city, watch that movie, man. And look at the garbage he had to put up with.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Well, and to be able to do what he was able to do when he did it and just I thought the movie was really, really well done. And, you know, there are things that I knew about him and I, you know, that he was here and he's Tech and, you know, and junior high and that all those things. And I, like I remember my dad would say, oh, Jesse Owens, like the greatest runner he had ever, like, even thought about in his entire life. And what he was able to do with those 36 games in Berlin is just, it's beyond sports. It's just way beyond that. I mean, especially at a time in our country where, you know, our country needed it. It did. And it's just, man, it's just, to me, so that's why I thought he was a slam dunk for number four.
When you say it out loud, it's great. I mean, yeah. That is the answer. And the only thing I have is Columbus. My personal favorite of Jesse Owens is during the Olympics they brought it up, and so I had to go look it up. And it is true. I'm pulling this off of NPR.com. Have you ever heard the story of Jesse Owens and the oak trees?
No, I have because you've told retell the story. It's a great story.
So
this is awesome.
So in the 36 games,
right?
Hitler gave everybody these baby oak trees. Basically, as you know, we saw it during the Olympic Games. Like everybody got posters this year.
Yeah, that was kind of. I thought there were batons at first because the first time I saw it was for a relay race, and I was like, "Oh, they gave him the baton. That's pretty cool."
And but, so, you know, Jesse Owens also got an oak tree, and what ended up happening?
But Hitler wouldn't talk to him. Man.
Hitler wouldn't
have nothing to do with it.
But what ended up happening is that these guys, everybody who was getting them, were throwing these trees out. They were just throwing them out. They didn't want them, you know, because. Hitler, and then also, you know, how am I going to get a tree on a plane? Yeah. And so Jesse Owens grabbed a couple of them and actually planted the trees in Cleveland as the ultimate stick it to Hitler. Yeah. You know, essentially, I think that's probably about as PC as I can put it.
They're at Rhodes High School.
Yep.
So the story goes like this. There were four of them, one for each Olympic gold medal, from the German Olympic Committee that he planted. One of the trees was planted at USC. One was at Rhodes High School right now in Cleveland. So if you see that, man, think about that when you go by that tree.
Yeah, I believe it's still standing.
Where he was training. He was training at Rhodes. One is rumored to be at Ohio State, but is yet to be identified. And the fourth tree was at Jesse's mom's house, but removed when the house was demolished. Oh, that sucks. That was all on Wikipedia. I don't know. So you
it's
tell
very
me.
Very cool.
Yeah. You tell me who's the
fourth. I thought that was a really cool story that he grabbed these oak trees and planted them all over as basically a, you know, bite me.
All right. I have a number two. I know you guys have a number two, too. Let's go to Robert and Parma real quick. Hi, Robert.
How are you, Robert?
Hey guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
Fully on board with Jesse Owens. Nothing against his accomplishments in sport, outside of sport, for the state of Ohio. Totally great. I'm never going to say anything against that. But if your criteria is people who played for Cleveland, I just don't know if he could be on there. Andy, I saw the same post as well.
Yeah, it's a Cleveland pride thing. I don't think
substitution.
Well, I mean, I could have thrown, and I don't hope you guys weren't going to do this. I mean, there was a point where I was like, Stipe Miocic might be in there too. If you wanted to kind of talk about Cleveland pride, that's
right.
To me, that's where that is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a recency bias there too.
Yeah,
you
said totally.
Stipe, that made me think. Joe Thomas right away. I think on, you know, to the call screener, I said, Jose, if they win one.
Agree.
And then I think another great one along those lines, Cleveland Pride, would be Larry Doby, too.
Oh, that was the one I was going to bring up.
Okay.
That was the next one that popped to me. It was Larry Doby.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Thank you, Robert. Yeah, Larry Doby. I don't know why I didn't. I probably would have put him on my list normally. And then I started thinking about who other people would say. All right. So give me your number two.
It was Larry Doby.
Oh, it was Larry Doby.
Number
two.
When I sat and thought about, like I said, I gave the first one that popped in my head, which was Jim Thome. And then the second one, when I sat there and thought about it, was Larry Doby. And I was like, yep. And then I think your answer of Jesse Owens is correct, even though in my head, he's Columbus.
Yeah, but I think still. The hard part for Larry was that it happened to be the first in the American League and that Jackie Robinson had, you know, beat him to it by a couple days, right? I mean, that was a timing thing. Like, if he ends up playing for the Indians before Jackie gets called up to the Dodgers, right?
We're talking a completely different story.
Yeah, it's Larry Doby Day. Everyone's wearing Larry Doby's number. Like, it's, you're right?
They still should do it. I think it'd be cool if the entire AL wore Larry Doby's number one day.
Really cool. So here's another one that
or at least just the guards, but nonetheless.
Cy Young was another one that went through my mind.
That's a good one. That's a pretty good one.
I mean, he still has records today. He really didn't pitch that long.
Record that'll never be broken. That unless they change the criteria for wins, that will never be broken. No one's touching that one.
And it's the most prestigious award outside of winning a championship, right, in baseball? MVP?
For a pitcher, yeah. I mean, I think the Cy, you know, you don't want to give the MVP to the Cy Young Award winner because the Cy Young Award winner, again, it's tough to say this guy who affects our games once every 5 days is more important than this guy who affects our games every day. But both are incredibly important.
I mean, Cy Young only pitched from 1905 to 1911. I mean, it's a pretty short career when you think about it.
Yeah.
It's the wins.
His wins record will never be touched unless they change the criteria to wins.
5-11.
It's never happening. Never, ever, ever.
Who was your number two? What was your number two?
You actually mentioned it there, Andy. I was going to go with Stipe Miocic. Being the combat sports fan that I am, won a championship in the UFC in, I think, 2016. Went on to defend it as many times as he did, including a defense at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. That was big, and beat Daniel Cormier twice. I mean, he is known as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, heavyweight fighters of all time, so that's big. I think he deserves some consideration for that number four spot.
The other guy that I had jotted down was Otto Graham. You know, and I just looked at him, and when you look at Otto's biography...
That one got sent to us on X as
resume,
well.
I mean, I don't know, three-time NFL champion, four-time AAFC champion, three-time NFL most valuable player, two-time AAFC most valuable player, four-time first-team All-Pro. I mean, I could go on and on and on. NFL 100th anniversary team, NFL 70th, 5th anniversary team, all there. I just think that the guys that we talked about have a huge national impact beyond Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like Jim Brown, his impact well beyond Cleveland. Jesse Owens, well beyond Cleveland. Bob Feller, I don't know. Like, there is a regionality. I think everyone respects his contribution. I mean, we always think about what would his numbers be if he didn't serve in World War II, right? We talk about those things. And then you can kind of look ahead. I don't know. I know it's a little hack radio, but if you take three out and you can only put one in, it becomes a whole different game, doesn't it? It's a little fun. 216-474-0092. When we come back, we're talking to Brian Anderson, the Cleveland Brian Anderson, I'll say, after yesterday having the Milwaukee Brian Anderson.
The best friend of the show.
Yes, he joins us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.